Welcome to The Goodnight Show. I'm Shay Morrison, sleep expert and co-founder of The Goodnight Co. Join me each week for hints and tips on all things sleep.
Hello and welcome back to The Goodnight Show. We are answering all your sleep questions in a new segment we like to call The Sleep Diaries. Send us your questions via The Goodnight Co. community group or through Instagram to be featured. Let's get into it. The first question was from Mark.
My wife thinks I have sleep apnea, but I don't know much about it. I mean, how would I know? I'm not so sure.
Well, Mark, if your partner has maybe witnessed you snoring heavily, frequent stoppages of breathing during sleep, so if they're not breathing and then gasping for air, really loud chronic snoring that might interrupt your sleep, they might have excessive daytime sleepiness, or wake up frequently needing to go to the bathroom. These are all some common signs that maybe they've got sleep apnea, and it's always a great idea to get some further advice. So go and speak to your GP or your medical practitioner and find out what might be going on. Because if they do have sleep apnea, this could be life-changing if you can get it sorted out, not only for them, but also for you. Good luck with that. Question two is from Georgia.
I can't sleep without my sleeping tablets, but don't want to be dependent on them. How do you recommend I get them and get sleep?
Well, first of all, Georgia, we often like to refer back to your health practitioner that prescribed the sleeping tablets. It's really important that you speak to them and get some advice on what they recommend doing. Now, they would have prescribed these sleeping tablets for a reason, so it's really understanding what are all of the areas that are connected to why you've been prescribed the medication, and then working with them on ways that you can perhaps looking at trying to reduce those tablets. Again, sleep is so personalized, so it's really hard to answer this question without knowing all of the details. In the meantime, some things that you can do if you're not doing it is to really think about what's happening in your overall lifestyle, in your wellness routine. Are you exercising regularly, drinking enough water, staying really hydrated, and trying to eat a balanced food group? And do you have a sleep routine? So these are some of the things that in the meantime, before you go and speak to your health practitioner, you could start to look at, is making sure that you've got a really solid sleep routine in place. Because if they are looking at cutting back on the medication or dropping it completely, having that sleep routine is going to be a great start into trying to get a great night's sleep. I hope that helps. The third question from JK.
Hi, I'm not sleeping very well. Could this be affecting my weight?
Research does suggest that there is an association between sleep restriction and negative changes in the metabolism. So in adults, you know, potentially if you're only sleeping 4 hours a night compared to 9 hours, it can cause some changes as an increase in hunger and appetite, which can then in turn affect your metabolism. I guess with this question, it's really about understanding again what holistically is going on in your life, making sure that you are trying to reduce as many stresses, to lower cortisol, and really looking at that holistic approach to your top three health pillars, which are diet, exercise, and sleep, and making sure that there is some interconnectivity amongst the three of those areas. Number five from Lauren. This is a question that we get asked all the time.
Is it okay to nap? I can't seem to get through the day without one, but I don't wake up feeling refreshed.
So this is the million-dollar question. When it comes to napping, there can be many benefits for napping. It can help with relaxation, reducing fatigue, increase your alertness, maybe even increase your mood. But some people, if they nap for too long or maybe at the wrong time, they can get that feeling of sleep inertia, which, you know, you might feel a bit groggy and a bit disorientated after waking up. So if you are considering a nap, maybe think about really restricting that to, you know, 10 to 20 minutes. 10 minute nap sounds ridiculous, but even just shutting your eyes for 10 minutes can make the world of difference. really think about where you're napping and how long you're napping for. And if it's something that you feel like you're needing to do every day, then again, maybe you need to go and speak to a health practitioner and get some further advice. Hamish has asked about oversleeping.
I think I've been oversleeping. I sleep for about 10 hours each night and still nap during the day and feel tired. What should I do?
This can be considered oversleeping. And oversleeping is called hypersomnia, so long sleeping. It doesn't really generally affect a huge amount of people, but it's when you're sleeping, 10 to 12 hours a night and you're always feeling tired. Now, there might be some other things going on for you. Again, I can't stress about how personalized sleep is. So it is something that you need to speak to a health practitioner about and get some more holistic view of what's going on for you to see if there might be a bigger problem there. It can be linked to some more severe things, for example, thyroid, heart disease, again, talking about sleep apnea, depression, some certain medications as well. So if you are oversleeping, again, maybe go and speak to a health practitioner and find out a little bit more about what you can do. A couple of things that you could do before you go and seek advice is you can do a sleep quiz. So it's called the Epworth Sleepiness Scale, and this will help you to rate your sleepiness and help your doctor to understand how your sleep's affecting your life. You could also look at keeping a sleep diary, for probably 2 weeks. So record your sleep habits, when you fall asleep, when you wake up, how often you sleep, how you feel when you wake up. And then that way you're going to the doctor being a little bit more prepared. Kate.
I'm finding it increasingly hard to sleep through the night because of my menopause. I'm waking up hot and cold and disturbing my husband. What do you recommend?
We have quite a few articles and we have a product, which is our sleep drops, our menopause drops for people that are suffering menopause. And menopause is a tricky one when it comes to this period in your life and sleep. So when we think about what's happening, all of our hormones are changing during this phase. And estrogen, one of our hormones, plays a role in the metabolism of serotonin and some other neurotransmitters that affect our sleep-wake cycle. Estrogen also helps keep our body temperature low at night and therefore more conducive to a better night's sleep. Estrogen also has an antidepressant effect. With less estrogen, women may experience higher body temperature, lower quality sleep, and poorer mood. So estrogen is the key here. And also our sleep-wake cycle changes as we age. So it sometimes, we can lose consistency. We begin to feel tired earlier, and then we maybe wake up earlier in the mornings. So therefore, we're just getting less sleep overall. It is something that you can look at seeking some more advice from your medical practitioner, finding out if there's a way that you can make some lifestyle changes and perhaps get some supplements as well. A couple of more natural things that you could look at doing is just making sure that you're exercising regularly, maintaining a healthy weight and diet, avoiding nicotine, caffeine, and alcohol. Alcohol can play a role in our hot sweats and raising our core body temperature. Making sure that you go to the bathroom before you go to bed so that you're not being woken up in the middle of the night. And also limiting the amount of liquid that you drink before you go to bed, even water and tea. Reducing stress as much as possible. I know that this just sounds ridiculous for people that are going through this in their stage of life, but anxious and stressful thoughts can keep you up at night, and it also makes it harder to fall asleep, or if you wake up, get back to sleep. Really looking at your self-care. So can you get some regular massages, making sure that exercise is high on your list, lowering your stress levels. If you're feeling a bit moody or depressed or anxious, seeking to talk to a medical practitioner around this, and go and speak to a friend about it as well. Make sure that, you're developing your bedtime routine that is cooling. So having a warm shower before bed is great because it actually drops your core body temperature. Really look at what you've got on your bed and making sure that it's appropriate from a layering point of view of sheets and duvets and things like that. And incorporating as much relaxation into your nighttime routine doing some breathing, listening to some relaxation would be a great place to start. It seems like there's a lot of things there, but I guess the key things are recognizing this, speaking to your partner, speaking to a health practitioner, talking to your friends, and really trying to drop that core body temperature, making sure you've got an excellent sleep routine in place at nighttime, and you hopefully can avoid some of the more serious things that come with menopause. Georgia Kay has written in asking,
I find it really hard to wake up early and exercise in the morning, but I've read this is better for sleeping at night. How do I make this work?
This is a great question, and it is something that you need to work out what works best for you. So if you're not a morning person, you really struggle to wake up early, get that hit of sunlight and do some exercise in the morning, then don't do it. You know, get that little bit of extra sleep in the morning, and then try and fit the exercise into the evening though. Exercising and moving your body, even if it's just for 10 to 20 minutes a day, can make such a difference for our sleep. And if you're somebody that, you know, you might actually need more exercise than that to really feel fatigued. So it's really just about working out a routine that works for you and making sure you stick to it. So if you can't get up in the morning and do it, it would be great if you, when you do wake up in the morning though, that you do poke your head outside, get a little hit of sunshine, take a few deep breaths just to help set the circadian rhythm, which is going to help you through your internal body clock throughout the day and then potentially help with a better night's sleep. And lastly, we had a question from Delaney.
How would I know my chronotype and how should this affect my sleep?
So a chronotype is actually a classification system. So it's used to help understand sleep and productivity schedules, including when you're most active and alert throughout the day. There is still some research around this. It's in relation to the PER3 gene, so the PR3 gene. And it helps define your circadian patterns, so your individual body clock. But you can classify chronotypes into four categories and they relate them to animals. So we've got the bear, the wolf, the lion, and the dolphin. Each chronotype is loosely based on the relative animal sleep patterns and habits. And, you know, I guess if you think about a bear, a lion, a wolf and a dolphin, you can kind of get a good understanding of what they might be. So a bear often tends to go to bed at, you know, 11 p.m. and wake up at around 7. About 55% of the population fall into this category. A wolf goes to bed at midnight and wakes up at 7:30. It's quite a small percentage of the population. They're probably a little bit more introverted. The lion also is a fairly small percentage of the population, and they tend to go to bed a bit earlier. So they go to bed around 10 p.m., wake up at about 6. They are often natural leaders and early risers. And the dolphin, they go to bed fairly late too, 11:30, and wake up at around 6:30, and have bursts of creative energy. So you can check this out. Dr. Michael Bruce has a chrono quiz. And if you have a look at his website, thesleepdoctor.com, you can take that quiz and find out which chronotype you are. Good luck with all of that, and I hope that that helps answer some questions. Thank you for listening to The Good Night Show. If you're keen to learn more about our guests or any of the topics we've spoken about today, hop on over to the Good Night Co. closed Facebook community group or check us out at thegoodnightco.com.au. And if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to us on your favourite podcast provider by searching The Good Night Show. And if you love what you're hearing, don't forget to leave us a glowing review. Thanks, everyone.